that will come to an end. And Daniel gives us the beginning of the Gentile rule, the process of the Gentile rule, and the consummation of it. And that time will come in a day known only to God. As you and I live, at this very moment, we are a part of history. We are either making history or we're going to make history. Whatever the case might be, we are part of the unfolding of God's purpose. And when you read Daniel, as Daniel himself was not conscious of what was happening at the beginning of his journey in Babylon, yet as he began to read the book of Jeremiah, which he took with him into captivity, he realized that God was working at the very moment he was in that place. And I want you to know, dear friends, tonight, a mother got up and talked about the video that was showed last Sunday night to the young people. I was responsible for being down with them. I didn't know what they were talking about that afternoon, or any other afternoon for that matter, and I just felt that this is the video that should be shown to our young kids, and I got it hoping that nothing would be said in there that would embarrass me or embarrass them. When I went to Lion's Den, I asked them, could I preview it before I rent it, and they did. Little did I know it was going to have an impact on the young people as it did last Sunday night. You never know when God is using human means to unfold his own purpose. And this is the book of Daniel. Now, for the time we have remaining, I want us to deal with Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2, verses 14 through 23. From Daniel 2, 1 to 13, the king made an unreasonable demand on Daniel. By the way, for those of you who are visiting, there's an outline at the back of the bulletin. An unreasonable demand. He wanted Daniel, well, not Daniel at this point, but he wanted the wise men. He wanted the Chaldeans, those who were steeped in understanding literature and reading of history. He wanted them to tell him his dream and to interpret it for them. Well, that's not a bad request, if you know what the dream is. Unfortunately, they didn't know what the dream is or was, and the king still wanted them to tell him what the dream was all about. Unreasonableness. And it reminded me of when I was a child. And my mom, I think, will be here this summer, so don't tell her I said this. I remember my last licking I got, I was 16 years old. 16. 1-6. 10+6. I want you to know. And the crime that I committed, I went to a basketball game without telling my mother where I was. And she was waiting for me when I got home. The game wasn't finished at 1 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock. It finished at 9:30. And when I was a young man, by the way, I was in Grassy yesterday, and one of the men said to me, "You don't look anything over 35. I said, "Thank you." A man said that. I was glad for that. And when I got home, my mom was waiting for me, and she said, "Winston, where were you?" I said, "I went to a basketball game." "Who gave you permission to go?" "I was 16. "I don't need permission. "In that day, you did. When I was 16, you still had 5 years to wait before you could stay outside your home after 9 o'clock. And my mother decided to put it on. At 16, she's giving me, she had the belt. And she was giving it to me. And she was giving it to me. And I thought, 16, good night, you don't cry at 16. And well, that was the worst thing to do. She said, "Oh, so you're not going to cry." And she started to pour it on more. So I decided, if I'm going to get this woman off my case, I better cry. So I started to cry. And as soon as I started to cry, she said, "Shut up." It's true. It's true. Almost unreasonable. And I want to tell you that I have risen up to call her blessed even to this very moment. I want you to know that. I didn't resent it then. I was angry. But I didn't resent it because I thought if she didn't care, she wouldn't have given it to me. She cared. And she was the mom and dad of our lives from the time my father died at the age of 32. So it was an unreasonable thing for her to do. And I didn't know how to respond to it. I was angry, as you can imagine, but I wasn't resentful, and I'm thankful for that. Unreasonableness, we all live with it. We live with it within our homes, within our community. We live with unreasonableness within the workplace. Sometimes demands are made on us that we cannot fulfill, and we wonder how to respond. Daniel gives us an understanding of how to deal with unreasonableness. I want you to look in verses 14 to 16 of Daniel chapter 2. 14 to 16 of Daniel chapter 2, and I'll read these verses. Then Daniel answered or replied with discretion and discernment. At Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men, the king of Babylon had said, "If you cannot interpret the dream for me, off goes your head." And they said, "Well, that is fine, but we don't know what the dream is." And so they had no answer to give. Daniel was not there at the time. Then the king's bodyguard went out to get all the wise men, of which Daniel was one. And he said, "You are one of those whose heads will go." So Daniel replied to him with discretion, as my New American Standard says, and discretion. He answered and said to the king's commander, "For what reason is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. I want you to notice with me his approach. It is absolutely vital, friends, that when you are facing unreasonableness, that you know how to do it. And look at what our text says. First of all, it tells us that Daniel was shrewd. Shrewd. When you go home, look up that word and see what it means. Because in the old version, it says Daniel approach with counsel. In other words, he was cautious. When Daniel heard what the king had demanded from the wise men, he didn't rise up within himself with a sense of frustration and anger. How could he demand such a thing when nobody knows what the dream is? What we have in this word of Daniel being cautious, we get our word prudent from it. And the word means that the person reasons through a situation, taking control of his own emotions so that he can approach the thing having counseled within himself. He counseled within himself. That's what the word means. It means then, as a prudent individual, before he went to stand before the king's bodyguard and said, "Now listen, I don't think you're being fair." Nothing like that. The word answered means that he responded. He didn't react. With a kind and prudent spirit, when he heard what had happened. By the way, let me suggest to you something. A kind and a prudent spirit is not something you develop on the spot. It happens because you are constantly training your mind and your heart in the things of God. It happens because long before you need to react that way or to respond that way, you have been developing yourself. So at the spur of the moment, you're able to respond because you have done your emotional homework to respond to what is being demanded. Always remember that. It is not on-the-job training. Prudence does not come on the job. It comes, my friends, because in the secret place of your own relationship with God, you begin to develop yourself. As I have said to you, and please forgive me if it's redundant, I read or seek to read the book of Proverbs entirely every month. Every month. One chapter a day. 31 days in a month. One chapter each day. And I try to pick out some nugget of wisdom that is there so that even if it does not respond or correspond to what is happening at that time, it is preparing me to be prepared for when I need it. And I suggest it to you. So Daniel prepared himself and he took counsel emotionally with himself, and he was not unreasonable in the midst of the unreasonableness because he dealt with it with prudence. With prudence. The word, really, in our present-day vocabulary, is that he was tactful. He was tactful. He wasn't demanding. He wasn't looking for a confrontation. So by counsel, he was cautious. But secondly, and interestingly with this word, I hope you follow me, he was cultured. That's what the word wisdom really means. By cultured means, my friends, that he was tasteful. In the one, he was tactful. In the second, he was tasteful. Let me explain it to you. Wisdom or discretion. Dr. John Walford of Dallas Theological Seminary says this, that Daniel, under the circumstances, expressed before the king, before his bodyguard, he actually had a sense of dignity and calmness before them. He was cultured. In other words, he went, my friends, with a sense of order. He went with a sense of control. He knew what was in his mind. And what was in his mind was worked out in his attitude or his posture before the bodyguard. I think my wife has gone downstairs. Yes, she is. Early in our marriage, we had a really heated discussion. You don't have that, so it's only in my home. Very heated discussion. And she was talking, and I did this to her. She said, "Would you take your hands down? I am not your daughter." See, a posture can say something. A posture can say to someone, "Go ahead, I'm just waiting for you to finish so I can tell you what I think of what you're saying." Or how about this one? "Will you quit?" Posture. When Daniel went in, he was cultured. Immediately, listen, friends, the bodyguard responded to Daniel because he was prudent and because he was dignified. It is important. If we are in heat when we go to people, we scream, we shout, we debate, we confront. And who has the last word? The one who has the last word is the one who has the authority. But my friends, if we are controlled by the Spirit of God, we can meet unreasonableness with reasonableness. And that's what Daniel did. It is something he would have you and me understand. His approach was one of shrewdness. But we have also his approach being one of in his spirit. The shrewdness came from his mind. The shrewdness came from putting the thing through his mind, seeing how can I respond to this. But then he went to the king. He had an audience with the king. And because of that, he was able to go into the king with, first of all, a polite spirit. A polite spirit. Look in verse 16 of our text. "So Daniel went into the king and requested." He requested of the king that he might do something for him. I love this. Because what Daniel did, my friends, was to go into the king with a meek and a humble spirit. So that if the king was ready to say what, I mean, he had already gone through the whole thing with the rest of the wise men and the Chaldeans. And he had already been thoroughly disgusted with them. He had passed the rule saying every king, every wise man, every magi, every Chaldean in the kingdom must be beheaded. The king had made the decree. And Daniel had to take him out of that mode. He had to bring him out of that sense of frustration and anger with those who were under him. He, Daniel, was one of them. And if he is going to bring him out of that, Daniel, my friends, had to go with a spirit that was absolutely contrary to the spirit he was going to meet. Absolutely contrary. So the king being uptight, Daniel went in with a humble spirit, a polite spirit, if you please. As he went in, my friends, he didn't go to the king for a standoff. Let me quickly take you to a couple of verses. Go back to Proverbs. Because this is a book that talks about wisdom and discretion and discernment. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Proverbs 17:22. In Proverbs 17:27. "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." He who restrains his words. Daniel, my friends, went in having control of his own spirit. His spirit was not out of control, so that when he went in, he was able to restrain his words. He was able to use words that were like medicine to the soul and to the spirit of the king. Look at 18:12. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. Humility goes before honor. Daniel went in with a polite spirit. And I want you to see, my friends, this polite spirit was a perceptive spirit. A perceptive spirit. Look at what he said in verse 16 again. Daniel went in and requested or asked or answered. The word there is requesting or begging someone for something. But I want you to see something that I never saw in this text before until I started to study it for tonight. He didn't ask the king for time to see what he could do. He didn't ask the king for time to save his neck. He asked the king for time to serve him. Look at it in verse 16. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. He did not concern himself with his head. He concerned himself with his character before God. And that character before God had to mean to Daniel, if God is going to honor my request, which I have made to him in secret, in public I must show respect for those he has put in authority. Remember that, friends. We cannot disregard God-given authority and expect that God will put up with our disobedience to that. So that Jesus paid taxes, he obeyed the laws of the land, whether they were wrong or not, because he knew that there was a kingdom beyond this that he had to live with. You know that somewhere along the line this had to come up with me. But I've said it before. You know what part of Markham I despise driving in? I just hate, especially coming west, from Wooten Way to Markham Road. East of Wooten Way, you're driving at 70 kilometers. As soon as you get to Wooten Way, it drops down to 50. And I confess to you, sometimes I'm sitting there and this is dumb. I think, why have 50? I mean, one person drives 50. It is 6 sometimes, but my friends, that's the law, whether I like it or not. And Daniel realized that the king was put there by God. No authority existed apart from the permission of God. And because that authority was there, Daniel went in politely, he went in perceptively, and he asked the king, would you give me time to see what I can do for you? Who could refuse such a request? A perceptive spirit. Let me suggest to you, my friends, what that suggested. What Daniel was doing was asking for a definite time period. He wasn't asking for an indefinite time. He went in with a plan. He knew precisely what he was going to do. The king wasn't aware of it, but Daniel was. And so he had beforehand prepared the plan so he could go to the king and say, would you give me a period of time? Our English Bible does not tell us that, but that's exactly what the Aramaic is saying. He went in with a specific plan. He just didn't go scatterbrained saying, now listen, just give me some time, I'll see what I can do. Let's go back to Proverbs again. Proverbs 13:15. Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding produces favor. Good understanding produces favor. How many times, my friends, do we go to a situation with understanding? Most of the times we go to claim our rights. We go to claim what we think is our rights. And so before anything else, what is my chief concern in any situation is me. Look, secondly, Proverbs 17:24. 17:24. I keep saying that. Second part of it. Well, perhaps in the first part. Wisdom is in the presence of one who has understanding. Do you know what Daniel understood? Daniel understood the frustration of the king that no one could tell him what his dream meant. He understood that. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't some of our parents perhaps faint if when you're trying to teach your child something, later on the child comes back and say to you, not when they're 10 years older or 15 years older, but in a few minutes they come, you know, Mom, Dad, now I understand what you were saying. Wouldn't that blow your mind? Understanding. That they're able to look at the situation, reason with the situation, and say, this is what Mom meant. This is what Dad meant. Wisdom is in the presence of one who has understanding. Daniel answered with wisdom. But I love this second part of the verse. The eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. The eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. A fool looks at what they want without the process and consequences of the present. Daniel realized that I have no tomorrow unless right now I can take the steps that will lead to the interpretation of the king's dream. And so for that, he lived for that moment. He lived unto God. He lived with his character. And he lived sharing with others, we shall see in a minute. The eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Let's see if I can anticipate what's going to happen 2 years from now, 3 years from now. If I'm not making plans now for 2 years from now, my friends, it will never happen. The eyes of a fool is not concerned about the process, just about the product. And that's why sometimes you have heard people saying that the means justifies the end. That's not godly, because some of the means can be very ungodly. But wisdom is in the presence of one who has understanding. And so we begin then by the approach of Daniel with a shrewd spirit and with a spirit that was polite. Secondly, the associations of Daniel 17 and 18. Daniel 2, 17 and 18. Then Daniel went into his house and informed his friends, Ananiah, Mishael, Azariah, about the matter, in order that they might request compassion from God, the God of heaven, concerning the mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Two very important things with Daniel's dealing with the unreasonable. Let me suggest, first of all, that he had dependable friends. Now, what do I mean by dependable friends? I mean this, friends, that the level of our character will determine the level of friendship we choose for moments of need. The level of our character will determine the level of friends that we seek. Daniel went into dependable friends. He wanted to share with them what was necessary because the moment called for understanding of the urgent. I want to make just this one point with this. Proverbs 18:1. You don't need to turn there, but I'll just read it for you. Proverbs 18:1 says this: He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. I discovered this in studying this text. If I am concerned for the will of God, I share my concern with others because it is His will that I want. If I am concerned about my own desires, I don't share it because it is something I want. When it is for God's glory, I will involve others' godly minds. I will seek spiritual insight. I'm having to make a decision right now with the Spiritual Life Convention, which I share as the chair. And I'm trying to step down because of my schedule. And we're at the process right now, the point of making a decision. And I'm so thankful. I was on the phone when I got home last evening with one of the godly men of this city. Friday afternoon, I was on the phone with another godly man whose judgment and spirituality I value so much. And I am sitting at the feet of these wise men asking, will you give me some advice as to how to go through this so that when I make the decision, it will be to the glory of God. If it is for the glory of God, my friends, I will want other godly friends to share it. But listen, if I had one person that I wanted to be the chair of the convention, I wouldn't ask for their advice. I would just go ahead and use my authority as a chair to do it. When it is for the glory of God, we seek the help of others. And Daniel went and he sought. I want to give you an illustration of this. Perhaps you don't need to turn there, but 1 Samuel 19:18. Saul was after David. David was on the run. Saul had committed himself to killing David. David didn't know what to do. And what David did, he rode almost all night. And he rode where Samuel was. And the text says this, David told Samuel all that was on his heart. He sought godly counsel. Because David would never take the law into his own hands, even when his friend said to him, David, why don't you just, you have the opportunity to kill Saul. And David said, I will not raise my hand to touch God's anointed. That was not a minister saying that about himself. That was someone in authority saying that about someone else in authority. And Daniel is showing us, my friends, that when it comes to the kingdom of God, we must seek godly counsel. Godly advice. We must know those people whose spirituality we value, and we can go to them and unveil to them the burden of our hearts because we are to share one another's burden. More can be said, but I will go on. Not only did he have dependable friends, he had devoted friends. Devoted friends. What were they to do? Verse 18. In order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven. See what I mean? If I share with godly men and godly women my concern, it is because I know they will take it to God. I know they will go to God with it. I know they will seek the will of God in it. I know that they might sympathize with what I'm going through, but the most important thing for a godly man, the most important thing for a godly woman is the glory of God. And if I am consumed with that glory, that God be praised in what I do, then I will seek them out because when they pray, they are going to look for the will of God to be done in what I'm going through. This is what we have here. Daniel had not only dependable friends, not simple friends that will agree with him concerning the situation, but friends that will seek mercy from God so that he, God, can intervene in the situation. Again, much more can be said of this, but I want you to get the picture of Daniel. What kind of environment, what kind of friends he surrounded himself with, friends that were dependable and friends that were devoted. And then lastly, the answer to Daniel. I love verse 19. Verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. The secret was revealed. Is there any other alternative? If godly men and godly women pray to God and ask for his divine direction for that which concerns his kingdom, what can we expect but that God will answer? Then the mystery was revealed. Ah, my friends, you know, as I see this, to me it is most remarkable that Daniel was able to recognize God's answer because that's the only answer that he wanted. The secret was revealed. How did he know it was the same dream? Because his godly friends and himself prayed and asked God. If a son asks for fish, even an earthly father won't give him a scorpion. Look, if you please, at the awesomeness of the answer. That's why that little chorus, our God is an awesome God. Daniel knew that what he was seeing was what the dream was all about. You see, the dream before had come from God. And if it came from God, then God knows exactly what it is. And all things are known to God. All the riches, all the depth, both of the wisdom and the unsearchable wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The only way, my friends, we can know what the mind of Christ is that we spend time with God discovering what that is through his word and in prayer. And that's what they did. And God revealed to them what the dream meant. I'm saying to you, we heard tonight of a wife praying for her husband and God answering. That's the kind of God he is. And sometimes we miss the answer because it is not the answer we want. But God never says silence on a prayer. He will say yes. He will say no. He will say wait. And the only one we want is yes. When he says anything else, we look for another answer. Daniel knew this was what God was doing. What an awesome God we serve, who can take the secrets of men and make it known to us. And I'm not saying that God gives us seven senses. I'm saying, my friends, in prayer, God can reveal what his will is, and God can reveal what his purposes are, and it is only in prayer that we discover that. We don't discover it any other way. The awesomeness of the answer. Look at the acknowledgement for the answer. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel. Then Daniel blessed the Lord. May I just read this as we come to the end of the evening? Daniel answered and said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him." Here, my friends, is what happens when the godly prays. When a godly man or a godly woman prays, there is a sense of celebration because of God's faithfulness in answering. I want you to see that there are five things that Daniel praised the Lord for in answering his prayer. In verse 20, the first part of it, God was praised for his character. In verse 20, the second part of it, God was praised for his wisdom. In verse 21, the first part, God was praised for his sovereignty. He's in control. In the second part of verse 21, God was praised for his mercies. Every answer from God is a mercy from God. In verse 22, God was praised for his omniscience. He knows the secrets of the heart. He acknowledged and willingly and immediately gave God the thanks, gave God the praise, because what was unfolding in his life was the will of God, not only for Daniel, but for the nations of the world. Dr. Harry Ironside, great, great Bible teacher from another generation, said this: the value of this portion that we have gone through so quickly tonight, the value of it is this, that if you and I are to know the will of God, we must have a humble and pure heart, for it is only through that kind of a spirit that God works effectively for his own glory. May God help us to seek that kind of a spirit. Lord's willing, next week, we look into the dream itself, and this is where it gets very interesting for those who like prophecy.